our gospel reading of Luke. Then one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the name of Jesus. Unless you have been in recent contact with an armadillo rolling around that spherical mammal like a soccer ball, you probably don't have to worry about contracting leprosy. I'm not sure if you knew this, but evidently armadillos are the only animals that carry and transmit this skin-infecting disease to us. And seeing that we live in Colorado and not Texas, I would assume that the vast majority of us are probably going to go throughout our whole entire life without ever giving a second thought of becoming a leper. Add to the fact that leprosy, as a specific disease that it is in today's day and age curable, and well, such a thing is almost moot for us, isn't it? Now, we could, of course, just write off this whole text for us this morning as a then and there type of situation, but that probably isn't the best thing that we should do. Probably isn't the best way about going about it. Because if it's only a then and there type of thing, then we tend to find a difficult time understanding how it is that anything that happened in our text has to do with us. But the then and there of leprosy does actually, in fact, have something to say to us, to you, here, in the now. And that something to say is far more important than skin lesions or bodily disfigurement. It actually does speak to our standing before God and before our neighbors. So let's start with the then and there, and then let's make our way to the here and now. From a mere medical standpoint, leprosy was a death sentence then and there. And granted, current scientific breakthroughs have shown us that there are many different types of bacterial infections that can cause your skin to rot away and your fingers to eventually fall off. But for the people in our text for this morning, it would be simple enough just to say that any and all of those skin diseases were considered leprosy. And as such, if you were unlucky enough to come into contact with an armadillo or with another person who had this terrible disease, you could resign yourself to the fact that, yes, you were going to die. Not immediately, but slowly and painfully. Watching your fingers and toes and appendages and ears and nose and lips shrivel up and waste away. In short, it wasn't a real fun way to die, if there is any fun way to die. But that was only half of the problem, because with leprosy and its eventual ticket to the grave, you were also forced to go and live with all of those other ones who had that same affliction, which meant you were no longer able to live in your home, and you weren't able to feel that warm embrace of your spouse and your children. Normal life and normal society was now and forever gone and taken away from you. Unclean, that was your new identity. And this identity, you got to shout at the top of your lungs to everyone that you met. You couldn't hide this new identity of yours. You had to wear it on the tip of your tongue, just as you wore it on your lesion-covered frame. And if that weren't bad enough, and honestly, few things are more shameful than having to announce to the whole entire world how unclean you are. Leprosy still should be seen as a sign of spiritual uncleanness. As an Israelite marked with leprosy, you could never again enter into the temple. You were removed from the place in which God proclaimed and administered his good and gracious gifts. In truth, leprosy was an outward sign of the inward unworthiness that actually infects all of us, every single one of us, whether we have leprosy or not. Lepers were just the unlucky few whose outward disease rendered them unworthy to the touch. And it seems extreme, I know, but the law never does let us off the hook. Try as we might, we can't trick the law into not condemning us. The law's too good for that, and by good I mean in the most godly sense. Because the law is from God, and it lays forth that which is godly and that which isn't. Lepers wore the fallenness of this fallen world quite literally on their faces, and so the law condemned them accordingly. But in truth, in regard to their standing before God, they were no worse than any of us. But here you might say that such a thing doesn't seem very fair, especially since most lepers, I would assume, probably weren't guilty, if we can actually use that word correctly, of purposefully contracting this deadly and lonesome disease. And it's in these type of situations that the sinner usually wants to scream up to God a why sort of question. Why did this happen? Because why questions always seem appropriate when calamity hits and suffering becomes unbearable, but in truth, why questions hardly ever give the promise of making you feel better, do they? Even if you could know why something happened to you, it doesn't ever fix the problem. Why is just a false hope? It's a placebo. It's a soiled and dirty bandage that fixes nothing and usually just makes the problem worse. So as a quick aside, don't expect God to answer your specific whys. Chances are, even if he did, you wouldn't really be satisfied with the answer that he gave anyway. So the Christian doesn't look to the why. The Christian looks to the how is it fixed? Because that's really where you're going to find your comfort. Tell me, honestly, would you rather know why your little child got leukemia? Or would you rather know how that leukemia is going to be cured? If you really do need the answer to all of your why questions, though, the universal answer that the law is going to give you is that sin breaks stuff. That's what it does. Fine. So now what? How is that brokenness going to be unbroken? How does disease get cured? How does sin get remitted? How does the grave become undone? These are the questions, or rather, the answers to these questions are what will finally bring the leprous sinner that's in all of us everlasting comfort. So Jesus, he's met on that road by 10 lepers who are as unclean on the outside as any and all of us are on the inside. And yes, surely they stayed their appropriate a distance away from Jesus, as lepers were commanded to do, but they still called out to him nonetheless. And perhaps they had all heard stories about this miracle man before. They seemed to have known his name after all. They knew him to be some sort of guy who could cure them or help them. So notice what they call out, all of them, all 10 of them. They don't cry out with a why sort of question. Why, Jesus, did this happen to me? What good does why do in the face of suffering anyway? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's all they say. And yes, we'll get to that one who returned in a minute. But notice something. They all cry out to Jesus for mercy. They just cry out for mercy. There's no promise that they're giving of payment. No, I didn't deserve what happened to me, Jesus, sort of language. There's no amount of cleaning themselves up before feeling that they're worthy enough to beg for mercy from him. Because really, quite literally, they couldn't clean themselves up even if they wanted to. Which says a great deal about the leper and each and every single one of us, if we only have ears to hear it. Mercy is what they call out for because mercy is what they need. Whatever way you slice it, the temporal and eternal punishment for the fallen flesh that those lepers embodied, that's what they deserved. It's what we all deserve. And so in their helpless beggarliness, each and every single one of those 10 lepers pleaded with God to take away this horrible wretchedness that they were suffering, even if they didn't deserve it. Which is why Kyrie eleison is the perfect and only prayer for the suffering sinner. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the midst of daily suffering, in the midst of the consequences of sin that we bring upon ourselves, in the midst of shame that's heaped upon us by someone else, in the midst of the law demanding our temporal and eternal punishment because of our uncleanness and our worthiness, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison is the only prayer that should be on the Christian's lips. We even sing it. We just did in the divine service just a couple minutes ago. Lord, have mercy. Because we do deserve the punishment that's coming down upon us, but we plead that it doesn't actually crash down with the full weight of God's righteous justice. Go and show yourselves to the priest. That's what Jesus says. Even before the lepers are cleansed. He says so because the priest is the one who can declare that a leper is cured of leprosy and could then re-enter society. It was the right thing for Jesus to do, sending them to the priest. Not just in society, but because it was his word, after all, way back in Leviticus, that laid forth that mandate. But along the way, there's that one who has that full understanding of what had just taken place. That Samaritan. He returns to the place of his salvation. Praising God with a loud voice, he falls right there at the feet of Jesus. And here I'm convinced that this leper, no longer a leper, was sure that God no longer resided in a temple in Jerusalem or on some mountain where the Samaritans liked to worship, but was in the person of Jesus. Right there on some dusty road between Samaria and Galilee, God was walking amongst his fallen creation in the person of Christ. He had become one of us. He had become one with us. And in him, we see the face of God. The rest of the story you know quite well, I'm sure. Jesus asked where the other 9 were. Why had they not returned to praise God at the feet of this God-man, Jesus? But here again, the why question doesn't really matter. In truth, I don't have the answer because Jesus doesn't give us the answer, which is fine. What is made known to us, though, is that Jesus looks to this unclean man, now made clean, and through his mighty words, and he pronounces grace upon grace to him. Rise and go your way, which is just Jesus' way of saying, rise and continue in the way, the truth. Because your faith has made you well. And here again is where the Greek is better than the English, I'm sad to say. Because the Greek quite literally means your faith has saved you. Has saved you. Here's a word that goes beyond the temporal and the disease of the skin. But it actually goes to the eternal and the disease of the fallen flesh. This leper's faith in the person of Christ, both God and man, who stands before him and has the authority to make clean that which should forever be unclean. This is the faith which receives eternal life, given right there in time and space. It's a faith that receives the mercies that frees from condemnation deserved and the grace that grants the gifts of life that are wholly undeserved. which is the exact reason I dare say that each and every single one of us this morning have found ourselves here, in this place, today. Your faith has brought you here. And with loud voices praising the God who's cleansed you from all of your sin and has had mercy upon your leprous soul. Here is where Christ your Lord promises to be, and he promises to be for you. For all of the wonderful things that God has done for you in Christ, mercifully receiving the wrath of your sin that should be yours, graciously giving you the forgiveness of that sin, unity with God, everlasting life that you've never earned and have never deserved. Because of all of that, what else could you do than thank and praise him? Your identity is no longer found in your fallen flesh. Unclean is not who you are. Instead, your identity is found in Christ Jesus, who went to the cross for you, and who has bound himself to you in your baptism. And it's his word of mercy that's placed into your ears as you hear, "You are forgiven." And right here is where he unites himself with you in a crucified and risen body and blood poured out that cleanses you from all your unrighteousness. A leper you are no longer. For the sake of Christ. Christ alone. And yes, sure, why questions still may come. Who am I kidding? They're definitely going to come. They absolutely will still come. For this leprous frame of ours is still waiting that final death nail of the grave, only to come forth as the perfect, holy, godly, redeemed, clean body and soul that's been promised to us by that rolled away stone. That's why this hope, with the hope, with that faith of the empty grave, of crucified Christ, we still know, I do, that this frailness in the midst of pain and suffering still something, sometimes, causes our faith to maybe, perhaps, be weak. But we still stand confident and secure, not in the answers of why questions, but instead in the answer to where your sin and your disease and your death has been left undone. Look right there to the cross. Receive your Savior in word and water and bread and wine. Find comfort. And then rise. Yes, go your way. Knowing for certain that this morning, that your faith in Christ Jesus, God in the flesh, saves you. In the name of Jesus.